This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here
to analyze the game they love
for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for pressing play on another edition of another Dolphins podcast. The first round of the 2025 NFL draft is in the books. Josh and Kat are joining me today to talk about Miami's first round selection, Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. Kat, 2019, the Miami Dolphins had the 13th overall pick. They selected Christian Wilkins. Needing to hit reset on defense, they do something similar, going defensive tackle again at 13. How do you feel about the selection?
Yeah, when you consider that there were no trade downs from pick 2 to pick 25, it's understandable the Dolphins didn't trade down. That would have been my preference in that spot. But I'm happy with the pick given the circumstances. The only other two players that I would have wanted was cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan, who's still on the board, but presumably that injury has to be pretty serious at this point, or pretty concerning. And Jahdae Barron. Those are the other two guys. But what Kenneth Grant brings to the table, I mean, this is somebody who's 21 years old, 6'4", 330 pounds, and the biggest criticism I have against him is that he tries to get into the backfield too often. And that's a pretty odd thing to have for somebody who's 6'4", 330 pounds. If the Dolphins had just said, okay, if Kenneth Grant were gone and the Dolphins had gone to just the next defensive lineman, say Derek Harmon or Walter Nolan, even though they're good prospects, I would have been disappointed with that. I think Grant really, truly has special traits if he can put it all together.
Yeah, I'm sitting here wondering, like, matured so much that, like, back when the Christian Wilkins pick happened, I don't know that I was, you know, necessarily blown away by it. I don't know that he jumped out on tape, but I'm sitting here watching Kenneth Grant, and I mean, it all started when you're watching Will Johnson. I mean, you see Kenneth Grant showing up. You mentioned it, he gets in the backfield, he uses his quickness, but he also takes on two guys, you know, opens things up for all those around him. So you start to see him show up on tape watching Will Johnson, and that's where I fell in love with him. So I think before this, we did our What Would Chris Greer Do? I think Kat and I both said it'd be Kenneth Grant. Here we are. We got Kenneth Grant. Have to be absolutely ecstatic with that pick. I was pacing back and forth, and I do think, you know, my personal preference, I might have went Tyler Warren here. I mean, he was there. He fell into our lap. I might have went there. But we know the Dolphins have all these needs. We know the hole on that defensive line. And now to have Mason – or to have Kenneth Grant go there, 21 years old, like you mentioned, have him plug in next to Zach Sealer, the world is their oyster. I mean, I'm ecstatic for this pick. And Stephen Ross finally got a Michigan guy, which we joke about it being a factor, but it kind of almost sounded like it did play a little bit of a role in this. So like the pick, interested to see what they do today, but a home run pick for the Dolphins, and it absolutely fixes that defensive line up front.
Kat, I'm really interested to hear that you say that, you know, maybe he gets in the backfield a little too often. Maybe he's a little too fast for his own good at this stage in his career. But that kind of reminds me of Chop Robinson a little bit, right? I saw some people moaning and groaning about this pick on Twitter and saying, like, we need, you know, a defensive tackle who can not only rush the pass or stop the run, but somebody that can get in the backfield, rush the passer as well. When you look at this, though, the Dolphins don't necessarily need that guy right away with someone like Zach Sealer. And this reminds me of Chop Robinson, because you look at him, his final year of college, what, 3 sacks, I think Robinson had, just a couple. He really didn't have that true production. And I see that same maybe trait, like Kenneth Grant has that speed, even though you didn't see that sack production. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing Dolphins fans need to understand, too, is it was a bad board for the Dolphins at 13. You know, the offensive tackles were off the board. Nobody, I mean, Mason Graham, who was mocked to the Dolphins a few times, was not there at 13-2. I mean, and the normal players were not there either. So Yeah, I think they had limited choices. Like, would anything have satisfied Dolphins fans with how the board was without people trying to trade up? Probably not. Maybe Jahdae Barron, maybe Will Johnson if they had drafted him and it would give him given some significance to, you know, maybe his injury's not as bad as people think. But other than that, no, I think they made the right choice here. Now, it gets interesting in the second round and the third round because this is where the draft gets fun. Mm-hmm. Because now there's not a lot separating, you know, the first player I'd have on my board from the 20th for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, the way this board, at least the way it looks now heading into day two, day three, I mean, you're sitting here kind of licking your chops at some of the options, and that's not even factoring in, you know, Sanders could fall, you know, Jalen Milroe, a guy who, there's so many different options there for the Dolphins and players at positions in need. But going back to Kenneth Grant, I mean, Jake, I joke, we love to do our Pokemon comics. This dude, I mean, he reminds me of Snorlax wearing, you know, rocket skates or something, because we all see that video of him chasing down Keytron Allen from Penn State. We all saw that, and that's kind of the one that everyone kind of falls back on. But this guy just continuously eats up space, and I really do think it's going to be a game changer. And I joke, does this make it? It does not make it, okay? But when you look at the Dolphins secondary, when you think about that front seven, now we know how good the linebackers are. You had Kenneth Grant, Zach Steeler. You got the pass rushers on the outside. I feel a little bit okay having Iffy and Ashton Davis back there and Storm Duck and Artie Burns. As that sounds. I mean, I know we're going to get cornerback hopefully today or tomorrow, but I'm starting to feel and see the vision and understand, okay, you get Kenneth Grant up there. The quarterback can't step up, right? You flush him outside, there's going to be those edge rushers there. So Anthony Weaver, man, he should be licking his chops. And I think you said it, Jake. Was it you on Blue Sky? Haloti Ngata kind of reminds you of him. Nose tackle. I mean, stoked to see what he can do. Played in 41 games with the Michigan Wolverines, 17 starts, 69 tackles, 6.5 sacks. Can do a little bit of everything. I love this pick. But again, I was pacing back and forth, wondering if they might go elsewhere.
And Josh, Kent's dealing with a couple technical issues here, but I wanted to ask you this because there was a lot of talk on the first night of the draft that Gray Zabel was going to be the pick for the Miami Dolphins. I think you just said Steve Wyche was kind of shooting a shot saying this is going to be the pick for the Dolphins at 13. Did that ever cross your mind at all? Was that something you were curious about? Because I started to hear that, and it kind of felt like that the Dolphins might have been trying to talk themselves up to put up a trade with the Seattle Seahawks, who did draft Gray Zabel, some situation like that. It kind of seemed like Miami might have been trying to work up some competition for that 13th pick.
Yeah, they absolutely could have been doing that. And I think we saw the time kind of trick down, right? I think even Kenneth Grant joked, I was worried you guys were going to go up there and get me. So I think they were maybe, you know, trying to get a team to jump up there. They were obviously talking to other teams, but that was another thing, right? Chris Greer came out, and I mean, all GMs say this, all head coaches say this, but he said, you know, we had a lot of teams that wanted to call up and trade up there after we took Kenneth Grant. All those teams said that they wanted to move up there for Kenneth Grant. So I don't know how true that is, but the fact that we had heard so many different things, you know, we mentioned the Zabel rumors. We even heard Shedeur Sanders was supposed to go to the Saints, and he's still on the board. So it has to remind us that this is the time of the year for smoke and mirrors. But I'm still a little bit baffled, man. We all got so hyped for Will Johnson, and he's still sitting there. Like, how did that knee issue go unnoticed? It reminds me so much of the Tua Tagovailoa hip injury. You know, he's on the injury report 1 week. He's out then for 2 weeks after that. Will Johnson's now fallen to the second round. Absolutely crazy, but that's why we love the draft.
Kat, I wanted to ask you because Mason Graham was one of the prospects that was linked to the Dolphins late in the process. What's the difference between Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham?
The big difference is Mason Graham has near Aaron Donald like first step and plays with that type of leverage. He just doesn't have the long arms that Aaron Donald had or the long speed. Now Kenneth Grant is somebody who can take up a lot of space. He can play nose tackle, but I think he's best really fitted for a 3-4 defensive end. And I think he can be special in that role. Now the interesting thing too, is heading into day two, I'll throw out a name, Alfred Collins from Texas. I tweeted this earlier, is somebody who's 6'5", 322 pounds. If you combine Collins, Grant, and Sealer on the front line and rotate them effectively, that's a pretty beefy front seven that you've got going on there with the Dolphins. And now you can start possibly trying to establish an identity on defense.
Yeah, I think your best, you said it best. He's a space eater compared to a Mason Graham. This is, I think they call him like a pass rushing nose tackle, so to speak, because he does have some of that quickness. But I'm intrigued and excited to see what he can do. Because like you mentioned, he can move to end and play in a 3-4 there. He can move inside. There's even times when, you know, Michigan brought the blitz and he's dropping back in coverage. I mean, he can do some wonky things, and obviously you're not going to drop back in coverage. You know, this isn't Deion Jordan versus Megatron, but, you know, he brings some tools that you can see why the Dolphins went that way. And like Kat said, if they would have went Walter Nolan, I would have been disappointed because it wasn't Kenneth Grant. If they would have went Derek Harmon, I would have been disappointed because it wasn't Kenneth Grant. So stoked for this pick. Do have to laugh at all the Mason Graham rumors, right? That was never going to happen, but it would have been nice. But for not getting Mason Graham, this was the next step. And Dolphins had no choice, right? They missed out on Calais Campbell. They needed to do something, and they went up there, swung a home run, and stoked to see what Kenneth Grant can bring to this team.
One thing I've been trying to ask myself is why is this pick different? Because I was on the record of saying, you know, we tried this with Christian Wilkins. You had Wilkins and Sealer. You had a top front four, and it wasn't really working out. Daniel Jeremiah during the draft, he put it pretty simple. He said that the Dolphins got their Haloti Ngata. And that sounds like fun on the surface, but like you start thinking about it, they're both 6'4", Nada's 340 pounds. Grant is currently 330 pounds, 10 pounds lighter. And Nada was a 5-time Pro Bowler, spent 9 seasons with Baltimore while Jeremiah was in Baltimore. And you know who was also in Baltimore during the time Nada was absolutely awesome? Anthony Weaver. And you know who was in Baltimore as a coach at the same time as Anthony Weaver? Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Michigan Wolverines. So I just thought there was this really cool triangle of the Baltimore culture coming into the Miami Dolphins via Anthony Weaver. And you just see the vision because you have the defensive coordinator, a former defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens in Michigan. That kind of screamed like, this is why this makes sense. You know, there was a tweet, I don't know how true it was, that Stephen Ross was in the room playing the Michigan fight song, something like that. But like, that's fun and that's cool and all, but like, that vision of seeing that connection with Jeremiah and just the Ravens culture, that really got me excited.
Well, and what excites me is that the Dolphins are taking the defensive and offensive line seriously. And that's what needs to happen for this to be a tougher team. You could talk about locker room all day, but unless you physically show the willingness to add offensive and defensive linemen, I mean, you're not going to be a tougher football team. And Kenneth Grant is a step toward that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I'm starting to get really excited at the rest of the board here. Like if you come away with an Alfred Collins in the second round at that size, and then you come away, let's say Tate Ratledge or Jonah Siavania fall to the third round at pick 98, are you really adding some beef on both sides of the line? And that's kind of what I'm looking for. I know there's cornerback and safety, but you know, this possible vision of really beefing up both sides of the line, I'm starting to get on board with.
Yeah, and of course, it takes this long for them to finally, you know, start to realize that vision. I do want to say one thing. You know, everyone was hyped about Mason Graham, but, you know, he wouldn't have had that same success without Kenneth Grant next to him opening things up. I mean, in a similar way that, you know, we always wondered, was Christian Wilkins, you know, was he as good as he can get because he had Zach Sealer next to him? I mean, I'm excited for this player and intrigued because he is still kind of young and there's still so much that he can become next to Zach Sealer. That's just dangerous.
Sealer actually had his jersey number retired today at Ferris State. Josh, I think we both wrote stories about that. Sealer, the only defensive tackle in the NFL to have double-digit sacks in each of the last 2 years. I'm really loving the vision of this defensive line. Kat, what do you see of Kenneth Grant's role in year one? Because John Gruden, he came out and said he thinks that Kenneth Grant's his favorite player in this draft, the quick feet. He even mentioned specifically, like, you can't run screens near this guy. That's just how quick he is, his ability to kind of clear things out in the backfield. You add that first. He's a run stuffer first, I should say, but just having that second tier, I mean, that's just really interesting when, you know, you guys have mentioned the edge rushers too.
He has the size of a run stuffer, but the mindset of somebody who's 50 pounds lighter. And that's what's exciting about
it. I like that. Yeah.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens really, not even in the second round necessarily, but maybe in the third or fourth round, because with how deep this draft is, you do have some pure nose tackles like CJ West out of Indiana. Yaya Black out of Iowa, those types of players, where if you see the Dolphins draft them, then the picture could come together that Kenneth Grant is going to be a 3-4 end. But right now he's listed on the depth chart as a nose tackle. So either way, and what's exciting about him too, is he has the flexibility to move around. So I think he could rotate between both spots, nose tackle and 3-4 end.
I'm sure the Dolphins they love versatility, right? I have my little Athlins draft guide in front of me, and they actually had Mason Graham's comp as Christian Wilkins, and then Kenneth Grant's was Vita Vey. And I mean, Vita Vey is a great player, but it's just so funny because I remember specifically doing a Homer Simpson meme, you know, anybody but Vita Vey at the time. And now, you know, years later, I understand the vision, why you got to build those trenches and how important it is. So Dolphins are finally starting to see it too, I guess.
Final thoughts on the first round here. I thought it was hilarious to see Tyler Booker go one spot before the Dolphins at 12. I couldn't believe the Falcons traded a future first round pick to climb back up and get a second pass rusher while Mike Green's on the board. Kat, what really left your jaw on the ground?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, the Eagles getting Jahad Campbell at the end of the first.
I love the pick, or the trade.
The Chiefs getting Josh Simmons, which I think is another incredible pick. The value just continues to fall to them at the end of the first round just by sitting there. Same thing for the Ravens and Malachi Starks. I mean, one player I'm shocked it was not taken for a lot of reasons is Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College, because I think we know why Will Johnson and Mike Green were not taken. Green with the off the field issues, Johnson with the knee. So it's not completely crazy that they didn't go. But Ezeraku, you know, is somebody that I thought would go in the first 15 to 19 picks. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker, and I'm starting to wonder if he falls down to pick 48, is that something that is just too good to pass up for the Dolphins? I don't think he gets there, but it was an interesting day. I'm also glad that the Patriots ended up taking Will Campbell. I mean, I don't think that's a huge needle mover for them. I think he's a good player, and I think ultimately he's going to end up being a really good left guard.
And now that he's not a Dolphin, we can say he has like T-Rex arms and just bash him, right? Like, we can say he's terrible. But I mean, I'm still surprised that Jackson Dart went over Sanders. I mean, I hate to always go to skill positions, but that still surprises me. And, you know, we saw two running backs go in the first round. So that's, running backs are alive and well, but some of the draft capital, right? We all would love to see us trade back up at some point, or one of these teams become aggressive. But I mean, they got absolutely fleeced, some of those teams. So nothing too crazy, but the Will Johnson thing, I mean, it makes me sad because that was a player I really, really liked. And to find out now that his knee's hanging on by like a thread, or it's this severe that he's still falling. I mean, it'd be amazing if he fell to 48, you know, all this stuff was put behind him, but yeah.
That's a good point there too, because it gets into the conversation, if Will Johnson does fall to 48, are you okay with him being a one contract player with this skill set? And at pick 13, and my answer would be no. At pick 48, my answer is probably yes.
And in a little bit of context, Noah Igbinoghene, one contract cornerback. Cam Smith on pace to be a one contract cornerback. So it kind of makes sense there a little bit. But I got to say, if Chris Greer goes back-to-back Michigan players in the first two rounds, he's getting the contract extension right then and there, right, Kat? It just kind of seems like a no-brainer.
I may have skipped something. What? I'm trying to think who else from Michigan might be taking. I'm sure it's right under my nose here. I don't know. But, I think it's more likely they take an Ohio State player than a Michigan player at this point, unless I'm missing. Will Johnson, of course. Yeah. So Kenneth Grant and Will Johnson, if they go back to back. Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty on brand. I'd say other than Will Johnson, Trey Amos is somebody who fits this defense really well too. I thought he would end up going late in the first round. I thought the Bills would have been an ideal spot for him, but he's a really smooth, good zone cornerback. Where these other guys in the cornerback class, Savone Ravel and Benjamin Morrison, I think are more man press guys. So I think it would be a huge win if the Dolphins got Trey Amos at 48. So there are a lot of players like that. I mean, there are 8 to 10 players that I think the Dolphins, I'd be very happy if the Dolphins took.
It's just funny because a lot of these guys were in all these mock drafts, right? They were selecting the first round in the simulators. Remember, Kenneth Grant was falling to 48, and some of these guys were going top 15. So it just goes to show you, you know, I guess how big of a difference there is. One last thing I want to do, and I hate I know a lot of people were upset. I think in our last pod, they were saying that we're a little bit harsh, Jake, maybe. But Chris Greer, I mean, I want to give him a little bit of credit, the foresight. I mean, they took the defensive tackle, and you saw afterwards, right? Other teams started to, I don't want to say reach, but they started to see that, you know, they were coming off the board and they had to make a move. And for a group that was loaded heading into this class, I mean, kudos to him, I guess, for having a little bit of foresight. But I'll probably throw that all away with whatever he does tonight.
Listen, I understand the any criticism toward Chris Greer is valid, but when it gets to the point where it's said that Chris Greer is incapable of drafting a decent player in the first or second round, that's just – that part's not true, okay? I mean, Chop Robinson was a defensive rookie of the year candidate last year, and Chris Greer selected him. So let's not give up all hope, I mean, when it comes to this stuff. This is draft weekend. This should be fun.
And he had the guts to do it at the end of the edge rusher run, where a lot of people think that you're kind of, if you're not first, you're last type of thing. We're recording this about 4:30-ish on Friday afternoon, so sorry if it's a little cold at this point. But Kat, Josh, I want to get your guys to just shoot your shot for tonight. I want to hear who you guys are thinking. I don't really have anyone in mind, but I know you guys have some prospects you're itching the Dolphins to take here a little in a couple hours.
Oh, man.
Only one person. I'm not. I'm you one know, guy. Either or. No, either or, mister.
One guy only. I'm gonna say Xavier Watts, safety from Notre Dame.
I like that. Even if Emma Morey's on the board.
See, that's an interesting discussion because they're completely opposite players.
That's true.
Eman Morey is a 6'3", 230 pounds, and runs a 4.3, but is not refined. He's like a. I don't think he's the best fit, but. Again, 13, I think that's nuts to talk about that. But at 48, it's a different story. Me personally, I would take Eman Worry barely because of the potential. But I think Watts would be the player the Dolphins went more toward.
Who was that safety on the Seahawks? Eman Worry kind of reminds me of him. During the Legion
Cam
of...
Chancellor.
Was it Chancellor? Was he the...
Not Earl Thomas, right?
No, it was Cam Chancellor, I think it was. Just kind of like a big physical guy. Well, I don't
Quandre
know if that's
Diggs. He reminds me a little bit of Quandre Diggs. Xavier Watts had 13 interceptions over the last 2 years at Notre Dame. Very instinctive zone corner or zone safety, but the ball fell to him a lot of times as well. So was it instincts? Was it that? Was it a combination of both? I'm not sure, but I think he's firmly a second-round prospect at this point.
I'd be stoked with any of those guys. There's a lot of safeties sitting here staring in the face and corners as well. I mean, but outside of Will Johnson, you know, something happened there. I'm going to go with Jonas Savanai. I drafted him in one of my mock drafts. You know, he can play tackle, can slide inside, it sounds like. And we still need the trenches, Bill. We still need that next offensive guard. So that would be my pick. But, I mean, I'm looking at the best available players, and it's just – you know, it's really nice the way this board fell. Just hope the Dolphins don't screw it up.
And it was kind of cool to see how a draft goes when it isn't just, you know, anchored by quarterbacks doing things. But this is going to be a lot harder because it's basically a fourth round pick. But Kat, who's on your radar at 98?
I look at a couple of players here. Jalen Rivers from Miami and Miles Frazier from LSU. I see as possible plug and play type of guys. If you're telling me that you draft a defensive player at 48 and a guard at 98. I think there are a lot of players who can step in from day one and do a serviceable job. Tate Ratledge is somebody who I wouldn't completely hate at 48 either. I mean, if you're trying to change the image of your organization and make it a tougher organization, and you start with Kenneth Grant and Tate Ratledge, I think that's a good way to start.
I was just – you asking for a third-round pick, Jake? Is that right? No, yeah. I mean, I was just going to throw out who did I have here? Oh, no. Oh, I was going to say Jalen Reed, safety for Penn State. I'm just throwing out a random name. It's one of these best player available. But, I mean, again, you're looking at this list, some of the guys we mocked, some of the guys that were mocked even higher, they're sitting here, and they can come in and be those day one starters that we need, right? We need, what, 3, 4? I think Chris Greer said we already got Kenneth Grant. That's one.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you guys for joining me, Kat and Houts. Draft weekend. I hope everyone out there is enjoying it. We will be back to recap the entire draft later this weekend, but for now, that's all we have. Go have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and most importantly, fins up.
Fins up.